KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Akutan, Alaska.
It's time now for your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset. Starting with your coastal water forecast, courtesy of the National Weather Service of Anchorage, Alaska. From Sitkanap to Castle Cape, today's south winds 25 knots, seas 9 feet. Tonight, south winds 15 knots, becoming northeast after midnight, seas 8 feet with rain. And Wednesday, northwest winds 20 knots, seas 6 feet. Castle Cape to Cape Tolstoy, today's small craft advisory. Today, southwest winds 25 knots, seas 9 feet. Tonight, variable winds 10 knots, seas 6 feet. And Wednesday, west winds 20 knots, seas 5 feet. Cape Tolstoy to Cape Sarashef, small craft advisory today. Today, west winds 20 knots, seas 9 feet. Tonight, northwest winds 20 knots, seas 6 feet. And Wednesday, northwest winds 20 knots, seas 6 feet. Port Hyde and Nelson Lagoon, today southwest winds 15 knots, seas 2 feet. Tonight variable winds 10 knots, seas 2 feet. And Wednesday, west winds 15 knots, seas 3 feet. Nelson Lagoon to Cape Sarashef, today southwest winds 20 knots, seas 3 feet. Tonight west winds 15 knots, seas 3 feet. And Wednesday, northwest winds 15 knots, seas 3 feet. Your detailed forecast for the Alaska Peninsula. Today, isolated showers before 10 a.m. Partly sunny with highs near 46. Southwest winds around 15 miles per hour. Tonight, isolated showers after 1 a.m. Mostly cloudy, then becoming gradually clear. Lows around 40. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And Wednesday, mostly sunny with highs near 46. Northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Your tide predictions for the Popoff Island. There was a high tide at 4:50 a.m. at 8 feet, 1 inch. A low at 12:12, a minus tide of 1 foot, 8 inches. A high at 7:06 p.m. at 5 foot, 6 inches. And a low tonight at 11:42 at 3 feet, 3 inches. Your sun rose at 6:06 this morning, and your sun will set at 11:15, giving us 17 hours and 9 minutes of daylight hours. And that was your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset here on KSDP and KAEB. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Coming up on KUCB News, an energy company is planning to bring a wind-powered ammonia plant to Adak Island. And a Kodiak fisherman has been sentenced for illegally shipping diseased tanner crab. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by GCI. Fiber Plus Internet is now available in Unalaska. GCI now offers high-speed internet in your community at the same plans and same pricing as Anchorage. More information at gci.com/internet.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM Unalaska. I'm Maggie Nelson with some local news on Tuesday, June 3rd, 2025. It's Dutch Harbor Remembrance Day, a day to honor all of those who were lost in Alaska during World War II. Governor Mike Dunleavy proclaimed June 3rd as the Special Remembrance Day. He has ordered that the state flag be flown at half-staff in recognition of those who died in the war. This year marks the 83rd anniversary of the bombing of Dutch Harbor. An energy company plans to build an ammonia plant in Adak, powered by wind. Adak is located in the far western Aleutian Islands in the Bering Sea. Pacific H2 Corporation will present its green ammonia project to the community this Friday evening. The company signed a lease agreement last week with the Aleut Corporation, the native regional corporation that owns most of Adak's land. The Green Ammonia Project would use thousands of acres for wind turbines to power the facility. The plant would generate more than 4 million pounds of ammonia each year, which then would be shipped to Asian and European markets. ADAC City Manager Brett Craig says the project could be a big game changer for the community of about 50 residents, as long as the company addresses local concerns surrounding the environmental impacts of producing ammonia.
I certainly don't speak for everybody in the community, but I can say for the majority of the community and the majority of the people that talk to me about it and the feedback I've gotten is people are definitely very positive about the opportunities that Pacific H2 and their green ammonia processing plant would bring to not only the island, but the Western Aleutians as well.
Ammonia is primarily used in fertilizer production, but it can also be used as a refrigerant, in cleaning supplies, and as fuel. Wind monitoring stations will be installed on ADAC this summer to gather data for turbine selection. Construction is expected to take 3 years, with ammonia production beginning in the early 2030s. Pacific H2 Corporation will present its plans Friday evening at 5:30 inside the ADAC Community Center, with a video conference option for off-island participants. A Kodiak fisherman was sentenced last month to a year in jail for illegally shipping diseased tanner crab from Alaska to Washington. The Alaska Beacon reports that Corey Potter will also spend 2 years on supervised release and will be barred from commercial fishing anywhere in the world during that time. The sentence comes after a federal investigation found that Potter told his two boats' captains to move crab harvested in Alaska to Seattle for higher sale prices, which is illegal. Both captains also pled guilty last year to violating the Lacey Act, which bans importing possibly harmful wildlife, like the diseased tanners. Potter's boats, Arctic Dawn and Gambler, had nearly 4,300 pounds of live tanner crab and nearly 3,000 pounds of golden king crab on board. According to a press release last week from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the captains knew some of their haul was almost certainly infected with bitter crab syndrome, which is lethal to crabs but not to humans. The parasitic disease can be identified by shells turning red or orange, as well as blood and flesh having a milky look to it. None of the crab made it to market, according to reporting from the Beacon. They were instead seized by the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife and sent to a landfill. The Alaska Beacon reports the government is also seeking nearly $190,000 in restitution, and a hearing on that is set for July. Alaska school districts hiring from the Philippines are taking some of the country's best and brightest teachers. It's a win for Alaska kids, but what does that mean for students back in Southeast Asia? KMXT's Brian Venwa explores brain drain and brain gain in part 5 of his series, Mabuhay sa Alaska.
School administrators from Alaska tour a public school. The administrators are seeing what teachers from the Philippines that they hire experience before moving to the last frontier state. These are the kids that get left behind when Filipino teachers are hired abroad. Mihinay Salvilia, Ronel Libador, and Giana Pareno all applied to jobs in Alaska this year.
I'm a seasoned teacher in the Philippines. I'm excited to also to share my expertise, my skills in the students in Alaska, and then to bring our culture, the Filipino culture, students in Alaska likewise.
The mountains, and I really wanted to feel a little bit, you know, cold with the snow. And of course, I have watched a documentary about Alaska that's, wow, it's really wow for me.
If Alaska is where the magic happens, then we'll go there.
When recruiters opened up appointments for screening, all 720 spots were filled in just 16 minutes. The only advertising? A few posts on social media. The consequence of highly skilled teachers leaving means fewer quality mentors for kids in the Philippines. This is a phenomenon known as brain drain. Conversely, Alaska gets a brain gain. Hiring teachers has largely been a success for the state's kids. Alaska districts are hiring some of the most highly educated teachers from the island nation. Kodiak Island Borough School District, for example, has more doctorate degrees from its 30 or so Filipino teachers than it does from its over 300 American hires. The district's superintendent, Cindy Mika, says there have been more remarkable candidates than they can hire during recruiting trips.
We were impressed with the quality of teachers that we met over there, and we were able to choose from there the top of the top.
It's hard to say what the impact is on the Philippines, though. Mika says her district is filling its teacher shortage with the Philippines' surplus of workers.
In fact, a lot of the teachers that we interviewed in the Philippines, when they first got their start, it was as a volunteer teacher. They weren't being paid because there weren't jobs. They're producing too many teachers.
But Mika grew up in the Philippines too. She's concerned that taking so many highly qualified teachers could create a sort of skill ceiling there if the country's best teachers keep leaving for Alaska and other destinations. That doesn't change Mika's priority, though, the kids in the community where she works.
My number one concern as a superintendent in Kodiak is getting the best quality teachers we can in front of our students. If we didn't have these Filipino teachers, who would we have?
But it's not just a one-way street. Many Filipinos working abroad send a lot of money home, 8% of the country's economy, according to some reports. Their experience, professional development, and cultural know-how gained in the U.S. is valuable too, and sometimes comes back. One of Mika's friends in the Philippines, Edna Oxtero, is the administrator for Tagaytay Christian Academy, a private school about a two-hour drive from Manila. One of TCA's top music students performed at a celebration Oxtero held to greet Mika and other Alaska administrators touring the school. She says hiring Filipino teachers is a huge compliment to the country's educational system.
I'm so proud that they're even interested to get Filipinos. That's always my dream, that priority for employment in other countries are Filipinos.
Filipino teachers being recruited around the world has become a source of national pride for her, even though she's sort of competing for those same candidates. Oxtero's principal and many of TCA's teachers are also its alumni, and she hopes some of them could go to Alaska someday and return with new skills. She's playing the long game.
My hope is that they will come back to build the nation and impart all their knowledge experiences to the next generation so that Philippines will rise up also.
They can expect that for J-1 teachers, teachers under J-1 visas.
That's Sergio Gutierrez, a Kodiak music teacher and one of the district's recruiters. J-1 visas require international hires to go back to their home countries after a few years, but he and many others are on potential paths to permanent residency through H-1B visas. Gutierrez has been one of the biggest success stories of Alaska schools recruiting from Southeast Asia. He's lauded by administrators, parents, and students. He even volunteers for multiple nonprofits and at events across the island. He still thinks about the kids at the private school he used to teach back in Iloilo City, though.
I do worry sometimes. I was thinking about it before resigning. But, well, I told myself it's for me. The kids, they would gain more experience. They're still young, but I'm not getting any younger. So I need to do something for myself too as well.
He says Kodiak is his home now.
I do love my country. I do love the Philippines. But I think being a teacher in Kodiak, being here in Alaska, opened a lot of opportunities.
He says he's not sure he would have had the same chances to travel and play piano and violin publicly in the Philippines. Gutierrez was one of the first teachers in Alaska in this wave on an H-1B visa. He hopes he can be one of the first to get a green card through the school and stay in the U.S. indefinitely. Reporting in Kodiak, Anchorage, Tagaytay, and Pajo, I'm Brian Venua.
Now let's take a look at community events coming up this week. The Museum of the Aleutians is hosting a commemorative open house through Wednesday. Museum admission will be free to honor those who served and to remember the impact of World War II on Aleutian communities. Head to the public library tonight from 6:30 to 8 o'clock for a presentation of Unalaska Students' National History Day websites. In addition to learning more about projects like how bananas caused a coup in Guatemala and the contaminated formerly used defense sites in the Aleutians, you'll have an opportunity to help these student historians practice questions for the national contest in Washington, D.C. All are welcome. Youth wrestling camp kicked off yesterday in the high school small gym. Coach Rainier Marquez is teaching future Raider wrestlers the fundamentals of wrestling until Friday from 1 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon each day. Kids from kindergarten through 8th grade are welcome. Learn about the basics of soil management and composting in the Aleutian and Pribilof Islands with an hour-long class tomorrow from the University of Alaska Fairbanks. The class will be held via Zoom from 5:30 to 6:30. Register online in advance. The link is available at the community calendar. And Friday is the deadline to register for this year's Camp Kungayuh. The annual culture camp is open to youth in 4th through 12th grade. You can call the Kowalungan Tribe at 907-581-2920 for more information. And for information on all of these events and more, check out the community calendar at kucb.org. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Maggie Nelson, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.
It's time now for your community window here on KSDP. Starting with job openings, the QT Tribe of Sandpoint is looking for a grant writer, an executive director, and an environmental assistant. The Shimigan Corporation of Sandpoint is hiring a bartender and a janitor. The Palouf Harbor Tribe is hiring a tribal environmental coordinator. The City of Sandpoint is hiring a part-time pull-tab sales assistant. The King Cove Department of Public and Safety is looking to hire a certified police officer. Interested applicants can contact the King Cove PD at 907-497-2210. EATS is hiring a behavioral health trainee and a community health representative. Both of those positions can be in Sandpoint or King Cove. They are also hiring a clinical information clerk for King Cove, a community health aide for False Pass and Nelson Lagoon, and a clinical information clerk slash janitor for Cold Bay. Community announcements, Sandpoint, Aleut, Copper Bay Resources, and Heliostar invites you to a town meeting tonight at 5:30 at the QTT Community Center. Small Craft will be barbecuing. And don't forget about KSDP's barbecue fundraiser tomorrow, June 4th, starting at 4 p.m. This will be at the Gear Shed, and we'll have food, music, raffles, and door prizes. We hope to see you all there. And today is June 3rd, 2025. Happy birthday to Timmy Mack. And that's all for the community window. If you have anything you'd like for us to put on the air or web, you can contact us through email at cw@apradio.org. You can call us at 907-383-5737, or you can still fax us at 907-383-5271. Also look for updates, meeting archives, and more at apradio.org. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
KSDP is generously supported by Precision Airways in Sandpoint, Alaska, offering chartered air services throughout the Aleutians Eastboro and beyond. For more information on charters and prices, Theo is available at 907-989-4080. Precision Airways is a proud sponsor of KSDP.
When you were asleep, I was kissing your forehead. You gave a frown, so I kissed you again. You started waking and put your arms round my waist, just making sure I was there. Then you drifted away. Then you drifted away. When I awoke, I found out I'd been dreaming. Some of my bedclothes were still on the floor. I looked around, realized you were leaving me. I saw the back of your dress as you slipped through the door. As you slip through the door. Kiss your eyes open, take off my clothes, and I'll lie by your side. Then I will wait till the Sandman has done with you. And as you sleepily rise, you'll find I'll be there. You'll find. We'll be right back.
Take me now, baby, here as I am. Pull me close, try and understand. Desire is hunger, is the fire I breathe. Love is a banquet on which we feed.
Because the night belongs. We'll be right back. What's that woman? Oh, spend on me. Let's clap along now. Come on. Can't you see? Make some racket. Can't you see? Sounding good. What's that woman? Oh, spend on me. Yeah. All right.
Can't you see?
Oh, Lord, she's such a crazy kind of lady.
What that woman?
Oh, spend on me. Oh, kick it out. I can stand it too much longer, yeah.
What that woman?
Oh, stand on me. All right, you got it. Oh, Lord, I'm gonna take a freight train.
Can't you see?
Down at the station.
What that woman?
Ain't I never coming back?
Can't you see?
I'm gonna take her down to southbound.
Can't you see?
Ride it all the way to Georgia.
You are listening to KSDP Radio, 8:30 a.m. Sandpoint.
88.1 FM on Translator, K201DA, King Cove, Alaska.
Yeah. Ong. This is Dmitry Filimonov, President and CEO of the Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association.
The Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association is hosting a virtual dementia tour on June 12th at the Old School in King Cove. The virtual dementia tour is an interactive personal experience providing insight on what day-to-day life is like for a person living with Alzheimer's and related dementia. This free event is from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. and 25-minute slots are available and open to everyone. Space is limited and you can sign up with Rebecca Newman at 907-497-2769. Or for more information, contact Lorraine Thomas at lorrainet@apiai.org. Or you could find a flyer in your community with the link to sign up.
Remember, if you are in Anchorage, please come visit the Unangamula, home of the Aleuts. Unangam, Atakan, Akun. We are one.
All right, you're tuned in here to KSDP. We're chock in the middle of a classic rock set, but we're going to interrupt you guys now for something that I'm really excited about. We have two mining outfits who are in town right now, and they're going to be hosting an outstanding event, as it always is. We have Copper Mines and Heliostar Of course, Heliostar. They're going to be hosting, these two outfits are hosting the event here. So go to the QTT Rec Center, and dinner's at 5:30. Mm-hmm. Presentations to follow. The Small Craft Cafe will be providing a delicious dinner, as they always do. But we have these two organizations here, as well as the Alu Corporation, to discuss what these projects look like and exactly what is the future holds for them. So we're going to start out here with the Alu Corporation, and feel free to introduce yourself and what you're here.
Yeah, thanks for having us. My name is Ethan Tyler. I'm here with the Alu Corporation, and I'm the Director of Public Policy and Lands. And so we oversee not only conservation and preservation of Aleut lands in the region, but we also have a responsibility to develop the resources that are available on those lands. And so as part of our responsibility for developing our land for the benefit of shareholders and their families, we've partnered with two amazing organizations that are out here. They're doing the heavy lift. So we're really excited to partner with them. We're excited to be out here in Sandpoint and collectively as a team share the plans for what's upcoming, where we see things going, and some of the benefits that we hope it brings to the region and to Sandpoint.
So a question I have for you really quickly about the Alu Corporation, how you guys go about supporting the mineral extraction process. Do you shop the area around to different mining organizations and try to sell the land as a potential, or does the Alu Corporation find itself maybe looking to invest and partner with to help create the opportunity? What do you see the role for the Alu Corporation? How do you guys exercise that?
Yeah, kind of all of the above. So we're the primary landowner in both projects, although I will say there's a pretty complicated web of land ownership between Aleut Corporation, Village Corporations, Fish and Wildlife Service, and others. But as kind of the lead landowner in that, we either these resources have been identified prior to this, or mining companies come